Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojopa Maria Ensoroma. And November is the third and final water month in this mind-blowing mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. November is also a double water month. By that, I mean it is a time for emptying out and filling up at deep emotional levels, which can result in us living more on purpose, which is the ultimate goal in life, to be here and to be on purpose. So the theme for this month is falling in love with your life. you know, being broke all the time, frustrated with your job situation, unfulfilled and unhappy in your most important relationships, or thinking you can never have the relationship of your dreams. All of that will have you hating your life. So through these two live broadcasts, this is the second one, and accompanying videos, I am guiding you through a process for releasing yourself from unhappy endings while stepping into happy beginnings as you free yourself up to receive all the blessings that your God and the universe have been waiting for you to claim. So this week I conclude November's theme with a spiritual wisdom spill on letting love show up. But first, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my shows is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking you from fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having those happy endings and new beginnings in life. Every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, I broadcast live on Black Hole Radio unless I'm on hiatus, which will be happening over the next 2 weeks of the month. Now, important, if for some reason you start out trying to access this program on the internet live, and for some reason your internet busts up or your computer goes crazy, know that you can still access this live broadcast at this phone number. It is area code 563-3089. Once again, it's 563-999-3089. Also, I will upload a YouTube of this a live broadcast to my YouTube channel. Again, that's Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. Now, you can ask questions or share comments on my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com. And if you're watching the video, you'll see it running across the screen below. And of course, if you are using YouTube, you can always leave me a comment or ask a question in the comments box below, and I will respond. So now I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Well, every week I start off my show by first honoring the ancestors, and this week is a very emotional laden one for me because it marks tomorrow on November 11th marks the first year anniversary of the death of my great nephew, and he committed suicide. And his death so shook my family, as you can imagine. But what's most interesting is that instead of completely falling apart, and especially my niece, who was his mom, instead of completely falling apart, we found a way to find treasure in the tragedy. And part of that treasure has been us really connecting with each other on a regular basis and connecting more deeply. We have been sharing this journey of grief. We've been expressing it. We've been listening, holding space for each other. We've been encouraging each other to take care, to get whatever professional help may be needed, and to really walk this journey, walk this grief, not hide it, not pretend. I'm very blessed that all members of my family believe in a God and also believe that my great nephew got freed up from the suffering that he was going through. So we don't consider him to be burning in hell someplace. We consider him to be freed up to be an ancestor for us. And clearly, we believe that his death marked, it called us to notice that there is a family wound that is walking through the family, and maybe in a way that we didn't quite see. And so it's opened us up to taking on that healing as well, with him guiding us. And so I know that unfortunately suicide is not an uncommon thing today. In fact, there really is like epidemic proportions going on here, right here in the United States, among males. And in that age group of, you know, around 18, 19 into the 30s. And so I want to take this opportunity to acknowledge these ancestors and to call on them to help us, heal that which needs to be healed within our families, within our communities, within our country, within the world. Because clearly this is happening for a reason. And so join with me now. And if you don't know someone who, or know of someone who committed suicide, or know of a friend that did, you know, you can just help hold space for those of us who do. Ancestors, 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 I am calling out to you this day, this way, at this time, for truly there is a need for your support, your guidance, and your wisdom for those of us who are grieving the loss of a loved one in the form of suicide. And as I also call upon my God, my greater order and direction, my all the one, all that is, my greatest light, I ask that all of those who have committed suicide, including, of course, my great nephew, Tyler, that all of these souls come and wrap themselves around us and help us to be able to heal that which is crying out to be healed, to help us learn more of what it is that we can do to support someone being able to address their pain rather than despairing and giving up on their life. And we also ask to be able to walk our grief, to express our grief, to not hide it, to not run from it, to not sedate it, but to allow ourselves to feel it and to let it move through us. For clearly, in that releasing, left behind will be great insight, great understanding, great compassion, first of all for ourselves, but also for all who we come into contact with. And so, once again, I am so grateful to you, God, for these great emissaries, the ancestors. I never thought that one of my great nieces or nephews would be in this position, but I continue to ask and thank you to open my heart, my mind, and my spirit to completely accept this and to learn that which I need to learn and grow in the way I need to grow as a result of this great trauma and tragedy for our family. And I, of course, wish the same for any and all who are watching and listening and who have experienced someone that they love, someone close to them, or someone that they know of who committed suicide. And again, Creator, thank you, thank you, thank you for these blessings. In the name of all that is holy, I say amen, ashe, aho, asa, shinga, bismillah, so it is, ashe, ashe. So at some point I will share in a broadcast more of the story of this whole situation, because I think it will be appropriate, and my niece has already given me permission to tell about her story in all of this, and my niece being the mother of Tyler. Her name is Rachel. So again, I am just grateful to be able to share that with you at this time. So now I want to move into the elemental wisdom for this week coming up, because November 11th is a big, big portal day. It's the 1111 portal, and it's a master builder number, so there's always, you know, there's always this stuff going on, you know, around this time. And so tomorrow's a big portal day. It'll be on Tuesday that we kind of ignite our elemental week, the beginning of the new week, and it is going to be a fire week. How interesting. And speaking of fires here in Southern Cal, another fire broke out last night, and this one was very close to Warner Brothers Studios, where they tape the Ellen Show and make all kinds of movies and things. So it was like, yeah, you know, just really very, very alarming, these fires going on. And I, of course, see that, too, as a message from the ancestors about how we need to take very seriously the human impact on global warming. We need to pay attention. So this Tuesday, the 12th of November, we will enter into this fire week, and the opportunity is about being truthful with yourself and others. It is about calling upon the ancestors to bring you clarity when you feel confused or conflicted. It's about walking your talk. It's about living in self-referred consciousness versus object-referred. And meaning that means that you're going to trust your intuition and honest feelings more than the opinions, advice, or judgments of others or things outside of yourself. Allow your inner authentic self to be in charge of your life versus the image of yourself that you may project out to the world. As Mr. Rogers said, people can love you exactly the way you are. So again, whenever there's opportunities, we're always going to get some distractions. And so here they are for this fire week coming up. One is maintaining the status quo. And, of course, that means going along with the program or with what everybody else is doing rather than having the courage and the confidence to step into what you really want to do. Abandoning your true self in order to please others or avoid conflicts, same thing. Lying to yourself or others. Yeah, we do that. We can do that really very easily when we're living in fear and survival mode. Sacrificing your needs in order to belong or to be included. That's giving away your power. And last but not least, that fear of not being liked, loved, or accepted. And a lot of times that can be hidden. Our motivation for doing things is coming out of that, but we may not be seeing it clearly. So this week, take some time to notice, like, what is behind this decision I'm making? Why am I choosing to go here or do that or say this or, you know, like, take a moment to be a little introspective and clean out wherever it is that you realize that, oh, I'm doing this because I'm trying to get these people to like me, love me, accept me, you know, and shift that around. Step into your authenticity. Now, I will be away from a live broadcast for 2 weeks, so I will not do Elemental Wisdom until I return, which will be on Sunday, December 1st. And that week will begin a nature week. But in the meantime, you know, consciously walk through this fire week. Yeah. Now, astrologically, also on the 12th, also on the fire day, and after the 1111 portal, we're going to have a full moon in the sign of Taurus. And of all the astrologers that I check out, I really like this overall message from Lena Stevens, and her website is The Power Path. Lena says, this is a powerful full moon with a call to discover deep desires from the inside. think of the following. Think of following the beat of your own drum and not being one of the sheep in the herd. And again, just exactly what I was saying about for the fire week, right? You know, not giving in to following along with the status quo, but remaining in your own uniqueness, beating your own drum, as she says. If you have experienced a recent sudden change, either in circumstance or perception, observe your attitude and level of resistance or judgment. Nice. So basically she's saying there's going to be some changes happening. So just check out. Are you resisting it? Are you in judgment of it? What's going on here? You know. So in other words, so that you don't resist it, that you accept the change and trust the process. Yeah. She says, turn any situation that feels oppressive to you into one of personal choice. I love this. Personal choice and power. I really love that. And she says, and find gratitude for something about the experience. And that's like I'm always saying, there's always treasure in the trouble. Always treasure. That's what she's saying. Look for that. Because she says, this will shift. This will shift it. A full moon is always a good time to honor and acknowledge the glass half full instead of half empty. Do something creative today that is just for you. Your purpose today is to move yourself forward into a positive future without knowing how, when, where, or with whom. Yeah, it's just delightful. I was working with a client today, in fact, and we were talking about the experience of God. And she shared with me that when she sees a full moon and she's in a full moon, that that is her experience of God. And I just love that. I agree with that. And so I want to share that for on Tuesday the 12th, if you can give yourself some moon time and experience the presence of a greater order and direction, of a power that is beyond our knowing, that mystery that we call God. Ashe. Just a reminder that Mercury is still retrograde, and it will stay retrograde until November the 20th, so just another couple of weeks. But last week I talked about how this one astrologer, her name is Molly, and I'm forgetting the last name. But anyway, Molly did a great thing of talking about the fact that the retrograde is in two phases. This was her interpretation. And so she says the second phase is about observation and insight. And so starting on probably like around the, I'd say, no, really, probably tomorrow, because tomorrow's the 11th and it goes until the 20th. So I'd say probably around tomorrow, because it started on the 31st. She says, Mercury is now born again with a clear sense of purpose. Mercury now takes what he has learned in the previous cycle and brings it to the next level of awareness. You are ready for something new. Wow. Yeah, yeah, really cool. So, again, Mercury retrograde can be looked at as a bad thing because things can be held up and you can't sign a contract, you know. But her interpretation, and I really agree with it, is, you know, make use of this downtime because this is a pause. We've been given a pause in our activity, in our empire building. And so take the pause and, you know, like she's saying, it's this being born again time. See what's being renewed in your life. See what's changing that is renewal. That means also, of course, that some things will be leaving, but pay attention to what is coming in. What is the new that is showing up? Yeah, it's really cool. And in closing, I just want to remind you that to help grow our consciousness about the human impact on Earth changes, I've declared October also as an Earth month, along with April, and that the 22nd of every month is an Earth day. One day a year in April just isn't enough. And on Earth Day this month, I encourage you to take a moment to love on the earth and to do something real and practical that contributes to, you know, decreasing the human impact on global warming. And whether that is not using electricity in the way that you normally do, seeing what things you can keep shut off all day, it may be not driving your car as far as you need to do or drive it at all. You know, so things like that. Think of what it is that you can do November 22nd to really support this beautiful earth being able to have the time it needs to get reoriented, reconstructed, whatever you want to call it, but, you know, that we can really reduce our human impact on this. Thank you for listening. Okay. I'm going to take a little swig to keep my throat dry from being so dry. And let's dive into tonight's program. I'm going to first do a review of the releasing attachment to suffering that I talked about in the previous broadcast and video. And then I'm going to talk about letting love show up, why we do and why we don't. And then I'm going to share three spiritual practices for letting love show up. And then, of course, I'll leave you with a personal challenge. My quote for tonight is from Rumi. For those of you who don't know, he was a 13th century Persian poet, faqih, an Islamic scholar, a theologian, and a Sufi mystic. And a very wise man that you find lots of quotes. If you Google Rumi, you'll find lots of wonderful quotes. He really understood about the love between us and God. And he says, your task is not to seek love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. See, I can stop right here because that's it. That's a message. That's the whole show about letting love in. It's right there. You don't have to go seeking. You can still find out, why am I blocking it? What's going on here? So let me jump back. So last week I talked about what this falling in love with your life is. And I don't think I need to say how important it is, but more the emphasis on the fact that we can actually do it despite whatever circumstances we started out our lives with or whatever circumstances have come along in our lives, that we can always find a way to fall in love with our life. I shared the characteristics of someone who has fallen in love with their life, and it's this. They're authentic, patient, non-judgmental, kind, generous, compassionate, supportive, encouraging, resourceful, great manifestors, effective change agents, passionate about meeting and connecting with people, always open to experiencing new people, places, and things, emotionally and spiritually affluent, possessing clarity, confidence, and courage about who they are and what brings them joy and satisfaction on a daily basis. Yeah, yeah. That's what, when somebody's loving their life, that's what's going on. That is what's going on. I then talked about the three choices that a person has to make in order to fall in love with their life. And it is about choosing to be clear about your uniqueness and your higher purpose. You have to be who you are if you're going to fall in love with your life. You can't be imitating somebody else, walking somebody else's path. You have to be you. Also, you have to choose to be confident in the face of challenges because you do not believe that you're a victim to life. You believe the world is out to gift you, not get you. And you perceive challenges and disappointments as opportunities for learning and growth. So shifting up that whole victim consciousness. Also, to be able to fall in love with your life, you will have chosen to be courageous, to be of strong heart by feeling the fear when it shows up and not letting it stop you from taking the necessary risk into the unknown so you can experience what is right for you. Yeah. Now, I then put forth that if we're believing that life is all about struggling and suffering, then there is no way we can ever fall in love with it. It's totally impossible. So I talked about four big reasons how we get attached to that struggling and suffering. So in other words, we may say, I want to love my life. I want my life to be wonderful. But you can be blocked in it. Yeah. And so the first one is emotional wounding, heartbreak, and trauma not sufficiently processed. And in regards to my great nephew situation, that is definitely a part of his story, because children will experience things that just don't get processed, and especially if the parent is going through things as well, and it's very hard. And those things become the seeds. They become the seeds for a belief system that is, this bad thing happened, so that means I'm bad. There's something profoundly wrong with me. You know, you begin to identify with the trauma, with the disappointment, with the heartbreak in early childhood. The second one is childhood conditioning about shutting down emotions. So you can pass your spelling test, you can make it to the game, you know, whatever. But again, and that happens that we don't pay enough attention to the emotional side of life, and especially for children. And so, again, if you didn't get the opportunity to be supported in learning how to express and release your negative emotions in a positive way, in a loving way, then, yeah, you're going to believe that life is about struggling and suffering. As an adult, you get attached to suffering when your pursuit of social and material wealth does not include emotional and spiritual intelligence, meaning you are blocking out your God, because just the pursuit of, you know, material things, just with it comes great fear. And so if you don't have something to balance that out, you'll be attached to suffering, definitely. And then last but not least, the lack of validation and support for the expression of your authentic self will definitely have you struggling and suffering. That's a quick example of that is someone who is homosexual and who does not have a family that would support that. And they're aware. They become aware of what's going on for them. And so that's suffering. They're in a suffering. And, you know, living their life in a way that isn't who they really are because they're afraid of losing, of course, their the love and support of their family. That's definitely a suffering. So, again, when you don't get the validation and support for the expression of your authentic self, you ain't loving life. You're definitely not loving life. So what happens when we get attached to the suffering is that we may not be really aware that that's going on. Because, again, like I said, it can happen starting in childhood. And so I gave you a long list about what I call guarded misery. These are the things that we will do to demonstrate that we are attached to the suffering, but we may not see it in that way. But I'm here to tell you, it really is that way. So I'm going to give you my shorter list. And it's things like always complaining about money, job, and relationships. You're attached to suffering. Usually going to sleep and waking up worrying. Because worrying ain't going to change nothing. But if you do it all the time, that means, that suffering thing is working for you in some level. Extremely uncomfortable not knowing what's going to happen next. Feeling sorry a lot, taking things personally most of the time, often judgmental of others and self, things never working out the way you want them to, unwilling to forgive, believing that there are people and situations you can never forgive, and managing emotional pain with sedative substances and activities. all of that means you are attached to suffering, and your belief that you can get out of it may not be active at all, which is not a good day. I used the example of Ebenezer Scrooge and talked about the soulless, heartless man who hated people. And, of course, what happens to him is divine intervention. He gets to realize how all of his pain is rooted in his childhood. And by just getting to confront that and also to get to see, you know, from a second party, what he really looks like in life. He hates people, but he didn't ever saw how much people hated him. And when he gets to become, gets revealed to him, he makes a choice to learn how to love his life. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful story that tells us that, you know, at any point in our journey, we can wake up and choose to learn how to love our lives. So I started down the road of talking about learning how to release your attachment to suffering, and this really is about how we begin to let the love show up. And it includes, you know, accepting that you are attached and allowing yourself to feel that attachment to the suffering rather than denying it or transferring it, right? Any pain not transformed will be transferred. Exactly. Also, it's about asking for help from a greater order and direction in a conscious manner. Yeah, get on your knees, bow your head, call out, help me, God, help me, help me, help me. I just recently saw a wonderful little 7-minute clip of Tyler Perry talking about what got him to be where he is at, to the level of success that he has achieved, having come from sleeping in his car. And the first thing he said was about his relationship with his God and his belief in God. And he said, it's through the grace of God that I am where I am. And he said, you know, you can pursue wealth and you can pursue things and you can, you know, go on all these interviews and all these auditions and buy out a theater like he did. You know, you do all of that. But without the support and belief and the faith in a God, you aren't going to get very far at all. It's just not going to work. And I think that is just so, so, so important. And it's a shame that we now live in a culture where we have to convince people that God really wants to love you and help you. Oh, my God. It's amazing. Anyway, things are changing. The next thing is you have to set up an intention and make a commitment to loving your life. And you have to do that very consciously again. And, again, you can do that in a prayer. And not a prayer, a bargaining. God, if you help me love my life, then I don't know. God doesn't need that. The real God, what God really is, the mystery we call God, doesn't need you bargaining. You make a prayer and you set an intention for you. You need to experience yourself saying, I am no longer going to stay in suffering. I am ready to learn how to fall in love with my life. Yeah. And the more you do that in a sacred manner, the more it'll stick with you. You know, that's what being sacred is about. Things stick with you. They just don't run away. Also, in learning how to release your attachment to suffering, sometimes you have to get connected to someone who can guide you, whether that is a life coach, a counselor, a healer, a psychotherapist. You know, sometimes you need someone who is not in the situation that you're in to really help guide you through identifying and healing that in which your suffering is rooted. Because, you know, our eyes only go in one direction, right? And not in the back of our head, nor on the side of our face, or up here or down there, you know, just like here. So we have blind spots. We have blind spots. And there are also things that are unconscious and don't come out until we get some support for them to be able to come out. Yeah. So I left you with a personal challenge last week, which was about making a list of what you don't like or hate about your life. Make a list of what you like or love about your life, and then to write it down in a prayer to help you release what it is that you hate and to be supported in what it is that you love. Then I told you to place the prayer in an envelope, mark it to be opened in 40 days. You put it away out of sight in a safe place, mark your calendar, and you will be amazed at what will have shifted to support you falling in love with your life within that 40-day time frame. And then I encourage you to repeat that every 40 days until you believe, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that your God and your universe is working to have you love your life even when you're facing challenges.
Yeah.
And that's really what happens for Tyler Perry. He, without a doubt, he has no doubt that he is on purpose and he's doing exactly what it is that he's supposed to do, and that is through the grace of God that he has been able to do it. Yeah. Now, let's talk about letting love show up. What I mean by letting love show up, again, back to that wonderful Rumi quote, love is always around you. That's how the universe exists. That's how it was made. God, your greater order and direction, Allah, Buddha, you know, whatever you want to call it. You want to talk about, you know, archangels, pull them into Gabriel, all of that. This is always around you. It is that from which you emanate, that from which you come. It is part of you. You were born full. How do I know that? Because you have a soul. You know, as Yoda said, this crude matter, you know, this isn't what's real. What's real is the spirit within, that which animates you, that which has you know the difference between right and wrong, you know. That is your truth. And so this is always around you. But as Rumi says, we then need to look for what is blocking that. What are the barriers, you know? Because even they have purpose. They have purpose. But they do exist. So when you can remember that love is always around you, then you can take steps to make sure that you can receive it. Yeah. And that is about getting at those barriers. You know, a person who loves their life and who continues to do so even when the challenges come, the big challenges to the little ones, right? And the challenges of fear, negativity, disappointment, heartache, heartbreak, right? But they continue to love their life. They never doubt that the love is there for them, okay? They never doubt it. The challenges just grow them to be more able to have more love show up. They consciously anticipate and look out for the love in their life in a way that another person will anticipate and look out for struggle, suffering, and fear. That's the difference. It is a belief system. And that belief system isn't something you acquire overnight. You know, back to Tyler Perry. What he went through, the struggles he had to go through to finally believe what today he's able to believe. Oprah Winfrey's another one. What she had to learn how to believe, what she had to break through to be who and what she is today. And I'm not talking about their wealth. You know, their wealth to me is secondary. I'm talking about their ability to have stepped into places of leadership and to be loving in doing that. These are people who, you know, are loving. We see they're open-hearted. They care about people. Like Tyler Perry has on his studio, he's created a way for men and women who may have criminal backgrounds to be able to get work. So he's saying, you know, hey, if you want to change your life and shift things around, you can come here and work. You know, so doing things for the community. Oprah, you know, opened up a school in Africa, and she gives away lots of money. She just gave like several $1 million to, the college. I forget what the name of the guy, forget, Morehouse College in Atlanta. Anyway, so the point I'm making is that despite them having all this money, they still continue to be very loving people, to take on a leadership position, to be inspirational to people. And that's what loving your life is really about. You know, it's really not about the money. It's about, can I be loving? Can I have the love show up? So what is it that blocks us? What is it? What are the barriers to us getting access to the love? And I see these four things that I'm going to share with you as blindfolds, or the energies that keep the blindfolds on. These are like forces in our life that will just keep us blindfolded to the love that is all around us. And when you work on eliminating, you know, as I said, I didn't say toning down or, you know, making it less. No, I'm talking about eliminating. When we take on eliminating these things from our life, then we're more able to see the love so clearly, you know, we don't doubt. So here we go. Guilt. Yeah. Guilt, that energy that will keep that blindfold on. This holds you to the past and screams, it screams inside of you, you don't deserve the love. You don't deserve the love. And that guilt will drive you to make decisions to give away your power in ways that you never thought you could. Guilt is no joke. It is a force to be reckoned with. The next one is shame. And this is a perpetual, think of it as a perpetual digital recording in your mind that says, something's wrong with me. And it pushes you to always then have to prove that there isn't anything wrong with you, that you are okay. But when you're in that kind of a not goal, what happens is you're going to attract, right, the experiences so that you have to prove, which means that you're attracting invalidation. You're not being supported. But that's what shame does. It tricks you. Yeah. And, again, like I said, it's that perpetual recording that says there's something wrong, there's something wrong, there's something wrong, there's something wrong. The next one is blame. Only seeing yourself or someone else as their negative behavior is what I call blaming. You know, the blame game is a form of self-hatred because it automatically makes you a victim versus I experience a victimizing situation or I came into contact with a victimizing person. Because the minute that you call yourself a victim, it's over. You've given your power away. You've given your power away. So this notion of blaming, you know, if someone does something unloving to me, I can choose to give them back their pain through forgiveness and introspection. I do not have to blame them. Now, this doesn't mean that somebody didn't do anything wrong. It's not saying that. If somebody did something wrong, they did something wrong. But the energy of blaming, that force of blaming, it attaches you to that person's pain and it makes you the victim. And last but not least is resentment. Now, I call resentment hardened blaming. Hardened blaming. It's like it becomes cement, and it can quickly turn into acts of revenge. Okay? Now, revenge, according to the Buddha, is like picking up a hot coal to throw. Yeah. You hurt yourself, you just get blamed. So there's never a good outcome with revenge. There's never a happy ending with revenge. No, no. It's a great theme that's used in a lot of Western movies. But the ones that tell you the truth will show you after the guy's gotten the revenge and killed the man or killed his father or whatever, it's like he's got nothing to live for. He's just a mess, you know, and goes off into the sunset and starves to death or dies, yeah. But seriously, resentment is, again, another energy that will keep you blindfolded to the love around you. So guilt, shame, blame, resentment. How do we eliminate them? How do we move that? Well, again, first of all, it starts off with a prayer. And of course, the recognition of them in your life. You have to want to become conscious of how you are holding on to guilt, shame, blame, and resentment in your life. Like if I asked you right now to just take a deep breath in and blow it out, and now think of who is it that you resent in your life? What are you ashamed of in your life? Who are you blaming right now for some situation in your life? I don't care if it's even your debt collector or, you know, where's the blaming going on, right? Where's the guilt in your life? What are you still feeling guilty about? Or what are you feeling guilty about because you haven't stopped doing it? Yeah. Attached to that suffering, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's what you do. You just take a moment to really be honest about where am I blindfolded to the love? Because until you take those blindfolds off, you cannot experience the love that's around you and fall in love with your life in the way that you really can. So I want to share with you three spiritual practices for removing these blindfolds and letting the love show up. I just want to say, if you want great support for these, get my book. And you can see it. Oops, it's on this side right there. Da-da-da-da. The Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, Ancient Wisdom for Transforming Pain, because the rituals that I share are very much along these lines of moving this kind of energy, definitely. So here's the first practice. This one is forgiveness work. This is about committing to a daily or routine practice of letting go of wishing for a different past and carrying somebody else's pain, because that's what forgiveness is really about. It's not letting somebody off the hook. It's saying, I need to let this pain go, and I need to stop thinking that what happened should not have happened. It happened for a reason. Let me find the treasure in it. You know, just the forgiveness work will eliminate all of the blinders. It eliminates shame, blame, resentment, and guilt. In a single swoosh, it's gone. Yeah. And it is something you have to do over and over and over again. As Jesus says in the New Testament, when the disciples are saying, Master, how many times have we got to do this forgiveness stuff? Because this was new. You know, they're coming out of a time when it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They were not no forgiveness. And Jesus says to them, oh, you have to do this like 700 times, 7,000 times. You know, give them some astronomical number that goes on into infinity, but basically saying you have to do this until it's done. And so that's it. And your forgiveness practice can simply be this: Lord, enable me to receive your grace of forgiveness for, and you say that person, that event, whatever it is. And you can also say, I remove this pain from me and enable me to accept what happened so I can get the treasure. But it really is about, Lord, enable me. You're asking to be enabled to receive the grace of forgiveness, because it truly is an energetic that it's hard for us to generate depending on the situation. So, again, do that in conjunction with a greater order direction, or call on your angels, call on the water, whatever you need, but do it in a sacred manner. The next is gratitude work. This is about growing your consciousness about the love that is all around you by taking one day, and you're going to just stop and pray every hour on the hour over an 8-hour period. And what you're going to stop and pray about is everything that you have in your life that you're grateful for. So, you know, Creator, God, Allah, Buddha, whatever, thank you for the air in my lungs, you know, the fact that I don't have any pain in my wrists anymore, the fact that I have an opportunity to be able to eat and digest my food. I mean, you can start like that, just about your body. So many things to be grateful for. and then go on and on and on. And you'll be surprised at how quickly the day goes when you make that commitment every hour on the hour. And also, too, what you're doing is you're growing your consciousness about the love that's around you. So after those 8 hours, you're just going to be buzzing with love. And you'll be so amazed at the results. It's magnificent how things will shift for you. Because, see, when we're blind to the love, we can't get access to it for the things we need for things to show up and happen, right? So this is a way, again, to remove that blindfold about, you know, really shame, you know, I don't deserve the love. This is going to show you, wait a minute, I got all this love around me. Wait a minute, what's going on here? Yeah, and things will shift, definitely. And then the third and final spiritual practice for right now is what I call a manifestation faith gesture. A manifestation faith gesture. What you do is you list down, what is it that you desire to show up in your life that would enable you to love your life and support you in loving your life? Okay? So you think about that. What would make me really be able to say I love my life? Because we all have something, someone, something, some circumstance, right? So you list that down. Next, you're going to list what you believe you need to release in order to receive that loving person, situation, circumstance, job, car, whatever it is that what it is you need to love your life. The next thing you're going to do is you're going to find some organic objects that symbolize one of each thing, on one thing on each of the lists, because I asked you to do two lists. So the list of what you want, what you desire, and the list of what you need to let go of. It may be shame. It may be guilt. It may be resentment, right? Whatever is blinding you to that love. And then once you have your two objects, you're going to bundle them up and you're going to offer them to nature. You can burn it. You can bury it. You can submit it to a body of water or rocky crevices or a cave. Or if you've got access to woods, you can take it and you can set it by a tree in the woods. So this manifestation faith gesture is you saying to the universe, I'm ready to receive the love, and I'm willing to release whatever is blocking me, what's blinding me to the love that is always around me, that the universe has prepared for me to experience in my life. Because I walk my talk, I did this exercise myself yesterday, and it was very powerful, very, very powerful. And so I encourage you to take the time to do that. In fact, that's my personal challenge this week. I'd like you to do at least one of these three spiritual practices. If you're smart, you'll do all of them. Especially if you're in a situation where, you know, it's just like, oh, I'm tired of this suffering. I'm tired of this complaining about money and job and relationship. I want to move forward. So you do your forgiveness work, do your gratitude work, and your manifestation faith gesture, and things will shift. You will be just totally amazed. Again, like I said, you can get access to my book. It is on Kindle for just $5. I think it comes to $4.99, so I'm like $5. Because in that book, you'll get even more guidance for how to do it in a very sacred manner. Just a reminder that the personal challenge will be listed below the YouTube video. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to my channel and hit the bell for all the postings. And thank you. Thank you so much. Well, we've come to the conclusion of learning how to fall in love with your life, falling in love with your life, letting the love that is all around you show up easily and effortlessly by believing that it is there and removing any belief system that would blind you to that universal cosmic sacred truth. Yeah, it's very sacred. Well, I want to first close out with thanking my wonderful engineer. I actually got Brother Forrest, the president of Black Hole Radio, to engineer for me tonight. Always a pleasure when I get a chance to connect with him. And to the entire Black Hole Radio